was on quarantine, so I guess I get to lead. So Wednesday we have prayer meeting. It's 7 p.m. You can join either by phone or by Zoom. And the information's on the website. You can get the code. Is there anything else I'm missing on that one? Nope. Oh, the food pantry is open Wednesday. And after church, and after gleaning, contact Sherry if you've got questions. You need to make an appointment, whatever. This next Sunday, we will be doing the season 2 episodes 1 and 2 after having a mini potluck. That's nothing big, major. But we would love to see everybody there. Come and join us. It's lots of fun. We'll spread out. We'll take it easy. And if you haven't seen it, you need to. It's wonderful. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning to worship you, to sing praises to you, to seek you more. We just pray that you would fill our lives and help us to open our ears, open our hearts, and help us to be able to take your word to those around us. Just ask these things in your name. Amen. Oh, one other quick announcement. If you have not already, the women have the retreat coming up over President's Day weekend. Flyers are in the back. And if you've got questions, talk to Donna. And today is Pastor Teresa's birthday, so happy birthday to you. And to Jesus be true. May God bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you. We have cake after church. So, we've got our call to worship. I cannot read that there. So, I'm going to turn my back and you'll have to read there. Call to worship, Colossians 3, verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Okay. And if you want to stand and sing, you may stand and sing, or you can sit and sing. I'm sitting. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Yes, Debbie? Hold on. What was that, Debbie?
The thing is
on the back screen? The little screen. But all I see is the smaller screen, it's not the big screen. It's not full size. That's what she was saying. It's okay. Well, it's fine. We'll roll with the punches. You guys can see it, and that's what's important. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Curveball.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now. Humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Till all shall see Christ and wastely always living in me. My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great the my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, how great thou art, how great thou
art. Good morning, church. God bless you. Thank you. I need it like everyone else. It's now time for us to take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. If the usher will come forward, we'll do that. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have given this house of worship, friends, jobs, family businesses, family, church family, and many other sources of income to sustain us. The way this world works. But thank you most for your sacrifice to sustain what is innermost and most important to us in you. Amen. Thank you. time for prayer and praises. We get to do this as a family, and that's the number one praise. Right there, amen? God is so good to give us this opportunity. I'm going to lift up my two littles. Sarah is okay, but somebody's got to watch the kids. We can't just leave it at home yet. We might be tempted from time to time, but... And those of you who've been parents, just give me an amen. Okay. but the two little are sniffling a little. We don't know if it's allergy. We don't know if it's otherwise, but we're being precautious. And so they're at home, and I'm fully vaxxed, all three, so I'm here. I can test to stay, so I'm with you guys. But anyway, so Dawson's here, but the two littles are home. So prayer to make sure that everyone is okay and safe, and we can go into this school week again. My other request I would have is that you would continue praying for all of us teachers, because it's still pretty stressful, not nearly as bad as the last 2 weeks. COVID came as a big wash over Dayton, and I don't know about you, Rhonda, but I was about four teachers each week. It was crazy. But last week I actually got to be myself, and I prepared 2 days a week, 2 days of the week, so I was like, yeah, normal. But we have a lot to praise and pray for today as a family. And I've been watching not as much have I been able to contribute to the group me, but I'm watching it throughout the week as life is busy with kids. And there's a lot going on in our congregation this week if you've been following it. So I'm going to let people share. And if I think something got missed, I'll bring it back up. But if you have a request or a praise you'd like to share, raise your hand. Yep, Paul and Carol. Absolutely. Paul's coming home to hospice. He is home. Does anybody know this answer right away? Because I haven't asked yet. If he's able to have visitors or if he needs to be isolated given his situation. Call first. Call first is probably the best. Yeah. Okay. And if somebody needs that cell phone number, ask me. Yep, you can call first. And be courteous that way. Yeah, Judy just posted on the live feed for the service today. I asked him, how's it going at home? Leo update. She goes, he isn't sick from COVID, but pray they'll put a drain in tomorrow for his infection in his abdomen. And she's being cautious and not getting around anyone else. She's tested and feels fine and is okay, but there's COVID in her home. So she's also being cautious out of love for us. So smart thing to do. Anyone else? Jeremy. Say again. Your brother Jeff. So my cousin Jeff, Jeremy's brother, is praising God that Jeff has come through COVID. And many of you know Jeff, as he has been of service here before in a ministerial capacity as well. And he has his own church that he's at right now. Anybody else have praise or prayer request? Rhonda. Did I hear right? Knee surgeon? Your left knee? Your left knee and my right knee. We can get together and dance. Yeah, absolutely. Dancing through the gates and saying hi to Peter would be something we can do someday. Absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, when that day comes, sister, you and I are going to have perfect knees. So. Okay. Amen to that. Anyone else? Continued prayer for Jim and Lori Cooper as Jim struggles through a long road back to health. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gene, I think, was in a house of everyone else positive and was hanging out and not getting it. And then all of a sudden he came up positive and he was out of work this week, I'm sure. Continued prayer for Gene and Lori Scratcher as COVID goes through there. Someday we will not be in a fallen world, and we will not have the consequences of that fallen world, such as all these illnesses. Until that day, we have each other for support. Teresa. You know how heavy that is on my heart, too. Absolutely. Teresa's asking that as we look at this being Black History Month and honoring a part of who we are as not just a nation, but a body of Christ, too. A lot of you, I don't know if you know, but in the Church of God history, there is unfortunate division between those races. But I don't want to say racist, because God made us all the same, but there's unfortunate division between skin color that still to this day needs to be fully reconciled. And that's just something that's huge on my heart, because I try so hard not to see any immutable characteristics, but the character of the man or woman that I'm looking at. Because I've come through a process of restoration where I have had to build that character for real. So, anyway, that being said, I'm not preaching. That's you, sister. But her prayer request that we would see everyone in this nation for the creation God made them to be and the plan he has for them and love them just like you love him. We all came from him. And I had a discussion with my kids about that this week too. Please pray for Landon. Landon, I don't know if you guys know about colored zones for emotions, but he's a kid with autism, right? And we're trying to find systems that will help him. And usually most of us are in the green zone, but sometimes we get in the yellow zone, and occasionally we get in the red zone. I think you guys are tracking with me just by the tone of my language. And he was in the red zone in class and spit carrots in his teacher's face. And we had a big discussion about how his teacher is a gift to him from God. And when you spit carrots in the face of your teacher, you're like spitting in God's face. And I think some of it went in, but some of it, he's 8 years old, so maybe I was a little too high in my... But I think some of it went in, right? So, pray for Landon. Pray for mom and dad. So, and his teacher is amazing and understanding. And I'll put this out there. When it comes to Landon, we have been blessed to have amazing teachers. I don't know if she'll ever see this stream or hear me say that, but it is true. Mrs. Peterson has been awesome. And every teacher he's had has strived to learn and connect with him. Ted says, happy birthday, Teresa, online. Ted's not feeling well enough to be here, you say? Okay. Ted's struggling to eat again. Yeah. Well, I made a deal with him that each week I'd try to lose a pound if he found it. Did he find it? Well, I lost it, so it's still out there for him to find. Hopefully he finds it. So, yeah. Anyone else have a need they'd like to share? Could you?
Yeah.
Bill said we need to lift up the medical staff that we have, our health system workers, and this is true. They can't hide. They can't hide at all. I think for most of them, it's not if, it's when. And I know in my public school setting, it's probably when too. I'm not sure how I've avoided it. I think I probably had it, been asymptomatic because of vaccines possibly, but. Yeah. And praise God for those vaccines, right? That he gave some men and women enough wisdom in how to make those. I mean, too often we make that a political thing, but praise God for those vaccines. Anyone else? All right, let's go together as a family before our Lord and Savior and his throne of grace. Father, Lord, thank you so much for giving us so much. Give us pause to stop and count the many blessings you have given us. Family, friends, church family, godly co-workers. Co-workers, and everyone else around us that makes this society function as we must exist in it on this side of eternity. Thank you for eternity. Thank you for a life coming with you, with no COVID, with no cancer, with no pancreatic mysteries, with no knee trouble, no joint pain, but perfected bodies. I look forward, Lord, to the day I can get down on my knees in no pain, fall before your throne and say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was, you are, and you are to come. Thank you for being the great I am to all of us. Lord, we lift up Paul. We lift up Ted. We lift up Leo. We lift up Jim and Lori. Vicki Nichols has friends and family as well that need to come to your throne of grace for healing and mercy. Holy Spirit, come now into the bodies of each of these mentioned. Our co-workers that are out sick, our health industry people working so hard to fight this fallen world in COVID. And Lord, for all of us and our bodies, Holy Spirit, come now and touch us all. Unite us as one family and heal our hearts and minds to the very depths of our souls. Lord, we praise you for many things, Lord, like all of us staying out of accidents on icy roads this week, and your guardian angels going before us, Lord. We know not whether we retired any this week, but we know that you sent another one because you love us. So thank you, Lord, for your watching over us every waking breath, every step of our day. And Lord, now you call us to pray for our leaders. And you call us to be united as one family in you. So Lord, work in the minds, the hearts, and the souls of our leaders to bring unity to the shiny city upon a hill called the United States. Bring revival to our leaders, bring revival to our land, bring revival to each and every one of our hearts. For we all stand in need of you. And we all stand in the need of prayer every day. Lord, let us look upon each other as if we were looking upon your face. in extreme devotion and love. For you knit each one of us together in our mother's wombs. We each are wonderfully and fearfully made. Whether or not any one of us has accepted you as Lord and Savior, and whether any one of us has certain physical characteristics, and whether any one of us believes a certain political party, and whether any one of us knows you or not, each is a gift given from you. And let us not betray you by failing to look at each person as such, and to see the heart, the soul, and the beauty you put in each one of us, in this building, outside this building, across this great nation, trusting you or not, or waiting to find you. Let us sow peace and the seeds of their salvation, and let us show your love, be your hands and feet. And one more time for our leaders, Lord, we place them before your great throne, the ultimate throne. The rulers of this world would claim a throne, but it bows to you, whether they know it or not. So, Lord, please reign supreme over this fallen world and bring revival to our land. Amen. All right, Dawson, come on up. All right, let's pray for our kids. I know I do. Father, Lord, thank you for Dawson here today. Thank you for Sherry being ready to do children's church. Lord, I just ask that the lesson you have today reach deep, everlasting, and permanent into his heart for your glory and for his benefit. Amen.
Recognize that song? Hopefully you do. Thank you, Sister Carol, for playing that. Man, I haven't sung that in like forever. It's the tune, if you don't recognize it, "I Will Make You Fishers of Men" is the song, and the lyrics say, "I will make you fishers of men if you follow me." It's Jesus talking to his disciples. He's inviting them to become fishers of men. Thank you for that. And again, welcome to those who are with us through social media. God is so good. And thank you, Pastor Ivan, for praying for us today. And I want to again invite you, if you can't join us on Wednesday nights at 7, I invite you to be praying throughout the week. Pick your time of day. Pick the day of the week that you want to pray for Gales Creek and pray for our world. It's when brothers and sisters get together. It's when the siblings, the family of God, comes together and prays that we are allowing God to use us to open our minds and our hearts to his will and his way. And he just empowers us with his Holy Spirit to go out and do what he's called us to do. So we can't make that happen if we don't sit down and take time out to pray. And as you watch the news, if you look at the world around you, just talking to your coworkers, talking to the people across the street, your neighbors, people at the store, wherever you are, you know that the world in which we live needs God. They need the light. They need the light. And who has the light? We do. Those who name the name of Christ, we have that privilege to be salt and light. So let's come together. Let's pray. Let's pray for the world in which we live. And let's go out and shine our lights. Amen? All right, so today we're starting a new study. For the next few weeks, we'll be following Jesus on the way to the cross. We recently looked at his first coming. Remember, we talked about the Advent season, what that means, the significance of it all. And we saw just a glimpse, just a few short stories about what happened to him when he was a child. And so now I invite you to join us as we look at how he built his ministry and on his way to the cross and the significance of that. So our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 5. And again, I title this sermon, On the Way to the Cross, Fishers of Men. Because this is what we find in Luke 5. Luke chapter 5, and I'm switching it up today. We're actually using the Message. Ha ha! So most of the time, you know me to be using the New Living Translation, right? But I invite you to use whichever translation, you know, float your boat. It's all the Word of God. But today we're going to use the oh, no pun intended. So she's laughing at me. I really wasn't intending that. We're going to be reading from the Message. And so let me see. Let me pull that up. Oh, come on. All right. In the Message, this section, you know, sometimes depending on what translation of the Bible you're reading, they have titles for the sections of Scripture. Now, originally those titles weren't there. It's just for us now, modern day readers, to find the place. Now, where's the story about the so-and-so? That's why that title's there. And so in the Message, it's called Push Out into Deep Water. And so verses 1 through 11 of chapter 5. Once when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, by the way, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch." "Huh?" Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow." "But if you say so," he says, "I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." And when they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, listen to what it says, nets and all, and followed him. Amen to the word of the Lord. That's really a curious story. Curious. Because, you know, normally when you're reading the stories about Jesus, it's talking about what he taught that day. What was the lesson? What was he preaching about, right? Who were those people that he was encountering and had to tell another lesson to? But this passage doesn't even talk about what his sermon was. It talks about the logistics of what he did to preach his sermon. And then it talks about his encounter with the people. So this passage has great lessons for us on several levels. First of all, the point of the story is not what Jesus was preaching that day. The point of the story is making his disciples fishers of men. So I think one of the first lessons that we can learn from this passage of scripture is about happenstance. Because it seems happenstance, right? You know, if Peter had just left a few minutes earlier, then when Jesus came to preach to the people, Peter's boat might not have been there. And then Jesus, I don't know, would have borrowed someone else's boat to preach. But then he wouldn't have had the opportunity to invite Peter to follow him. And then if Peter hadn't been invited to follow Christ, we wouldn't know Peter who he is today as a mighty apostle for Christ, right? So it's so happenstance, it just happened to fall into place. Isn't that something? And if you really think about it, no. Sister Susie, maybe it's not so strange. It's not happenstance. And we know, because as believers in God, we know how God works. He is a God of intention. He intentionally sent Jesus to save the world. And so when we find Jesus on his way to any specific place, it's not happenstance. Jesus is on a mission, and he takes advantage of each step along the way to the cross. Because Jesus was born to die. He knew that. But between his birth and the cross, there were a lot of steps in between, and he took them with intention. He paid attention to every single person that was put in his path. All the things that were happening, Jesus paid attention. So as a subset of a lesson, I want to invite you to be thinking about that. Huh? If Jesus paid attention, he knew what his goal was, but still all the steps up to the goal still counted for something. It wasn't happenstance. So I want us to be thinking in our minds, how can I be more like that? I know my goals, I know the things that I have to do, but I want to create awareness around me so that I don't miss the people that God has placed in my path. Pastor Ivan, again, I thank you for your prayer, because that's what God wants us to be doing. I know we all have different things that we've been called to do, right? We have different jobs. Some of us are retired. You still have purpose, and you have meaning, and you have goals, and you have things that you have to do. But let me remind you that on your way to getting those things done, don't forget all of the people that God is putting in your path. Pay attention. And when the opportunity comes to use, there's a boat right there. I'm going to ask if I can use that boat. Why? For God's glory. So think about the boats that are out there in your life. Don't pass them by. It's an opportunity for God to use you for his glory. So it's not by happenstance that Jesus was there by the Sea of Galilee and that the people were clamoring, hey, we know that you are a rabbi. Preach the word of God to us. We know you teach it differently than the people that we've had before. We love the other rabbis, don't get us wrong, but we like the way that you teach. So they were pressing him to speak, and so he did. But he knew that in his sermon, that wasn't the real reason he was there. He was also there to win the souls over of those who wanted to become disciples. Every step along the way to the cross, Jesus takes advantage of. Now, you may recall that from the wedding, that some of John the Baptist's disciples left him to follow Christ. Remember, we talked about that. Peter's brother was one of them. He has Jesus come to the house. And while he's there, Peter's mother-in-law is ill when Jesus visits, right? And so they ask, hey, can you heal his mother-in-law? And Jesus does it. He heals her. And then she just pops up like it was nothing and goes, okay, I'm going to go cook our dinner now, and goes and prepares the meal for all of the guests that are there. So it's not the first time that Peter has encountered Jesus, because he knows him. He's been following him. Jesus hangs out in their spaces so that they can get to know him and see him up close. Because for most people, he's that rabbi that people are talking about. We've heard some good sermons come out of him. Let's go hear this. You know, he's like a pop star, right? But for those who Jesus specifically wants to mentor, he allows them to be with him up close and personal. And why is that? Because he's planning to recruit them to continue his ministry. Okay, another side lesson, side note. If Jesus did that, Sister Carolyn, well then what does that mean for me? I'm on my way to heaven and I'm taking these steps. God is putting these people in my life. Who should I be trying to invite in just a little bit closer to my circle? Not so that they can copy me and say how great I am, but so that they can learn about who God is and who Jesus is. So then they what? Turn around and go tell some other people about who Jesus is. Another side lesson. So Jesus is doing this intentionally because he wants them to be continuing the ministry that he begins. So by the time we get to the preaching out of a boat scene, Peter has witnessed a handful of Jesus' miracles and he's heard Jesus' teachings. And Jesus is not a stranger to him and Andrew, right? He's one step at a time revealing who he truly is and who they can become if they follow Jesus. So, first lesson is that it's really not by happenstance in our lives. The things that happens to us, God wants to use for his glory. But another lesson we learn from this miracle is the role of our faith and our obedience. So in our walk with God. So check out what's happening for Peter. The TV series The Chosen does a good job depicting what might be happening inside Peter's mind at the time. But you also see it listed in the text. And thank you, Sister Debbie, for highlighting the red there. Jesus' words, push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch. Peter and his comrades do their norm, which is fishing. Okay? Most of us have jobs or have had jobs that we've retired from, and it's their trade. That's what they do. They are fishermen. Most likely inherited the family business from his father and his father's father and so on. It was very common, at least for one son back in the day, for at least for one of your sons to carry out that family business and carry it forward. So whatever the craft was, whether that was fishing or like in Jesus' case, being a carpenter, right? You learned that trade and at least one of your sons was going to carry it on. Maybe not all, but at least one. So Peter and his gang, they are professionals. When it comes to fishing, they know what they're doing. They know all things fishing. And so the story is set up so we can expect Peter and his friends to be, one, exhausted, because the scripture says that they were up all night. Boo. And then not only are they exhausted, but two, they're probably disappointed because they've literally spent the entire night fishing and not, in the words of Peter, not even a minnow. What in the world? I didn't even catch a guppy. Come on, Sister Susie. Can you give me a guppy, please? We didn't even get a guppy. you know, some of you may not have had guppies, but when I was in school, they used to give us guppies at school as the pet. You know, you would take it home and it would die like within the week. Okay, but they were out there working all night and didn't even get a guppy. So they're disappointed and tired. And Peter's probably getting hungry now too. They just want to go home. They want to rest because guess what? Tonight, we're going to do it all again. One more again. That's what we do. We're going to go fishing again. So when Jesus steps into Peter's boat, asking him to go back, go back out. Matter of fact, go back a little bit farther. And then he sits down. First of all, you know, Peter's thinking, you know, because first Jesus asked him, can you just push out a little bit so I could, you know, do my preaching from here? Peter's probably thinking, okay, so you better be glad I like you, Sister Rhonda. You better be glad I like you. I mean, I get that you're famous, you know, locally, you're a rock star and all that. But don't press me. I'm tired. I'm getting hungry, too. And I'm cranky because things didn't turn out right. So he gives Jesus the side eye. But obeys. And he's like, okay. He's thinking these thoughts in his head, but he doesn't say it out loud. Sister Susie, out of respect for the rabbi. Oh, so he pushes his boat out and lets him sit there so he can preach his sermon. But I'm sure he was thinking, whew, now I have to pay attention. Everyone's going to see me if I fall asleep. You know how we do in church? Because you know, you're out there and see, like, the cameras can't really see the audience. So if you kind of go, Sister Susie, you know, wake back up and act, amen, amen. And you hear people saying amen. You say amen, amen. And everybody else, you know. Peter's exhausted. So he's like, oh, wow, I can't even, like, do one of those because everybody's looking and they're going to see me. So now he's really got to at least, you know, look like he's paying attention, Sister Rhonda, because even if he's not, you know, people are looking at him. Ooh, I can't fall asleep. I must stay awake. And so that happens because it happens for us, you know, and if you're not falling asleep, sometimes our minds wander because we're thinking about what's for lunch, what am I going to be doing after church today, what are the things I have to do for this week, you know. Kids are sick at home. What's that going to be like when I get back? I got to go run and get people food. And that, you know, so our minds wander. It's just natural for that to happen. So it's no different, I'm sure, for Peter. And so, you know, he can't do the jerk back up and wake because he knows people are watching. So Peter's feeling the pressure. But that isn't all. After Jesus is done preaching, he actually has the audacity. He knows Peter is tired. He knows Peter is getting hungry. So he doesn't just let him bring the boat back in and go home. He asks Peter, oh, by the way, since we're out here, why don't you push out a little bit deeper so we can catch some fish? That's what Peter was like, okay, see, I was nice to you, let you preach. But now you're going to tell me, the professional, how to fish? Master. So see, he's like, okay, bro. I am the fisherman. You are a carpenter, okay? So since I, the professional, have been out here all night and know that the fish are not catching, how about we go home so I can go to sleep and eat me some food before I go to sleep? Newsflash. I'm the professional, he says to Jesus. Can we just please go home? And then he turns and he looks at Jesus. Jesus is smiling. And then listen to the words that Peter says, because all these thoughts are in his head, like, he goes, you know what? If you say so. And sometimes when we say it, we're like, It's out of exhaustion. It's out of desperation. It's like, okay, if you say so. If you say so. So he's reluctant. But he did it. Yes, Sister Susie. He did it. It's that small act of obedience. Reluctant though it is. He obeyed. And there, my friends, is where the miracle takes place. Because even though everything in him is like, no, 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 we don't need to pull out further into the deep. I've been there, done that. The fish are not biting. Nevertheless, if you say so, he trusts and does it anyway. And because he obeys, even though it's a reluctant obedience, not only is his boat sinking due to the weight of all the fish, but he has to yell for the rest of them, hey, y'all come on over here, bring your boat too. And then their boat begins to sink because there's too many fish. They're all overwhelmed by the catch. And of course, all they can do is go, wait, what? We were here. We put the nets out like we always do. We just went out now and wait, what? And so for Peter, it's an epiphany. It's an aha moment. He is already a man of faith, because you remember most of them, they're all Jews. They believed in God. And not only did they believe in God, but they believed in God's Messiah. Okay, so they already know that that's supposed to happen. In fact, the reason he's checking Jesus out, he's investigating who Jesus of Nazareth really is and asking the question, could he really be the Messiah? Right? Based on what? The testimony of his own brother, which is what? Based on the testimony of the prophet John. So based on those two testimonies, now Peter is like, I wonder if this really could be the Messiah. And so when this miracle of the fish overflowing two boats happens, Peter has this divine revelation. And he realizes, wait, hold the phone. If you are the Messiah, that means like you're God and you're holy. And that means that I am not holy. And I'm not worthy to be in your company. Just like that, his mind races from, no, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I want to go home. And no, I'm not pushing the boat out any further because I'm a fisher. I know what I'm doing to, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Just that fast. So he was probably thinking up until that point that Jesus was a holy man, that he could do miracles because, you know, he saw Jesus heal the sick. He saw Jesus cast out demons. And he saw Jesus turn that water into wine. Moses had competitions with Pharaoh's magicians who did similar feats. So special people have those powers to do those things. Remember, they replicated the plagues. They turned their staffs into snakes. Remember when Aaron threw the staff down and his turned into a snake? They were like, yeah, we can do that too. Threw their staffs down. And then Aaron called forth the frogs, they were like, can we do that? Oh yeah, we can do that too. So they called forth frogs. They even turned water into blood. Go back and look in that scripture. You go, yeah, they sure did. So holy people can do certain things. Okay, so yeah, Jesus is a holy person. But something about multiplying that fish and making them bite clicked for Peter. He realizes then and there that Jesus is the real deal. Jesus is not a magician, like in the Old Testament when they were dealing with Moses. He's not even another prophet like John of their day, the prophet John the Baptist. Rather, he is the Son of God. He is the Holy One of Israel. That's the epiphany for Peter. And not just Peter, but his fellow fishermen that day. So let's go back to the rest of the text. After hearing Peter's response and seeing the reaction of the other disciples, Jesus responds by calling them into ministry. He tells Peter, don't worry about that. Don't worry about being a sinner. All of that's covered. Don't worry about that. He now has a future with God. And that will include using his talent for fishing for food to now fishing for souls and witnessing to others about who God is and what God has done. And so God is saying the same thing to us. When we look back and read this story, we pick up those lessons. And God is saying to us, yeah, I got all your sins covered. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. So, we've come now to the part where you and I directly apply the Word of God to our lives. What do we, and the first disciples have in common? What do we have in common? Again, I'll list them for you. What are the lessons that Jesus wants us to learn? Well, again, let's go back. First thing, God is intentional. There really is no happenstance. Though our lives may seem serendipitous, it's really not. God's using all of the things for his glory, if we allow him to. And the way sometimes we've taken seems really long because we've gone this long roundabout way, but we still end up finding ourselves with Jesus. Or sometimes we've been traveling with Jesus a long time and we still choose right or left. I'm going to go right. And then you follow that path and you go, you know, there probably would have been a shortcut if I had just turned left. But it's okay. Because God is with us and he's guiding us and he's directing us. And no matter what situation we find ourselves in, he's going to use it for his glory. You might be thinking, well, can I go back and just go to the left? I've already turned right. Well, it's okay. Who are the people that God has placed in your path now that you've turned right? It doesn't have to be lost, Sister Susie. You can use it for God's glory. It's not happenstance. God is intentional. We just need to open our eyes to what he is doing and look at his intention. It's all not in vain. All of our experiences, all of the many things in our lives, all of it can be used for God's glory. And I want you to know this, because I know there might be someone who's listening to the sound of my voice. You'll go back to this sermon later in the week. There's somebody out there watching on our social media thinking, you know, I don't know about that. I don't know about that because I've sinned a lot. So how can a good God be able to love me? But just as he turned to Peter and said, I got that covered. Come and follow me. He's making that same invitation to us. He's extending it to us every day. So we get to do those things if we want to. And also this, know this, that your name may never be recorded in the city hall, or you may not be known throughout town because you're not that famous local person. It doesn't matter. What we need to remember is that you have a choice. We each have a choice to do God's will. And when we do God's will, not only will we be blessed personally, but the people around us get blessed. So let's just go back to the scripture real quick. Now, there are two boats full of fish. At the end of the text, it says, the fishermen left their boats and followed Jesus. They just left their nets. Now, what do you think happened to all those fish, sister? What happened to all those fish? The people that were there in that community, the people who had gathered around Jesus to hear him preach, no doubt took that fish, fed their families. Some people were able to go and sell the fish and not only feed their family, but the family next door, right? And the family next door to them. Because the blessings that God gives us isn't just for us. It's to be used and shared with the rest of the people around us. So yeah, you may not always get the accolades. Someone may not put your name in the news and get awards. But what you do for God counts. So don't forget those things. Second thing. So the first thing, God is intentional. No happenstance. Second, our obedience and our faith, they are vital. They are crucial to following Jesus. Even when we don't understand or when we disagree with what God is calling us to do, obedience and stepping out on faith will bring us victory and abundant life in Christ. Peter was blessed abundantly because he obeyed, even though he didn't agree with Jesus. Remember in his mind, the interior monologue, I'm a professional fisher. So how about no, we don't go out. But despite the internal monologue, he said, yes, 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 yes. So when he did that, it opened up a life of abundance for Peter. A preacher by the name of Ryan Paulson challenges us to own up to our reluctant obedience and follow God's call. Because I know there's some of you are out there, you're so holy. You would never have those internal monologues with Jesus or where you say, now come on, Jesus, really? No, no, no. I don't want to go out on Wednesday to help cleaners. No, I got other things. I need to get my hair done. I need to go shopping. I need to do these other things. I don't want to be there on Wednesday. You would never say that. Just people like me would say that. But he says, the preacher Paulson says, if we are unwilling to do the ridiculous, we will never see the miraculous. Isn't that something? I was like, okay, Pastor Ryan, that's deep. If we are unwilling to do the ridiculous, we will never see the miraculous. It's fascinating because that's Peter's experience. It was ridiculous to go back out there because they'd been there all night and didn't even get a guppy. But he did it anyway. It was ridiculous to think that these jars of water are now going to become wine. Ridiculous. But guess what? It happened. So we have to be willing to suffer the ridiculous so that we can gain the miraculous. Sometimes it won't make sense to us what God is calling us to do. Trust and obey him. Remember that song from Sunday school and from Vacation Bible School? Trust and obey. take the position of humility and turn your will over to God, saying like Peter, if you say so. Just simple phrase, if you say so. If we start practicing that more with God, we are going to reap the reward. I promise you. And lastly, like I said earlier, God wants us to learn that no matter what our sin is, His salvation can cover it. It will make us new. Amen? It will make us new. He wants to save us so that we can show others the way. You may have said recently in your heart, I don't know, Pastor T. I don't know about that. I've been hearing you people read from the scriptures. I've listened to a lot of Bible teachers. I've heard some preachers from different places. But I don't think you understand the mess I'm in. But Jesus is the answer. God loved us so much that that's why he sent his Messiah, Jesus the Christ, to save us. And that's why Jesus assures Peter that his sin is forgiven. And then he invites Peter, along with the others, to leave their old lives behind and follow Jesus into a new way of being and living. It's the same invitation that he extends to us today. So, you may be that one who's wondering, how can such a good God love someone like me? Or if his love is big enough to cover your sin, and I assure you that it is, because that's what God's word tells us. It is. Every single last one of us, Jesus Christ died for. There isn't, you know, in the fine print, well, actually, he only died for the people born on third Tuesdays of the odd year month. No, there is no fine print like that. He died for every single last one of us, which is why it's so important that once we name the name of Christ, that when we look at the human beings around us, we see them as God sees them. Precious souls who need salt and light in their life. Doesn't matter how rich they are. Doesn't matter what sex they are. Doesn't matter what pronoun they use. He, she, they. Doesn't matter. Because they are all created in God's image. And God sent his son for every single last one of us. And that's why we need to look at others as God sees us. So I invite you now to pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in person and through social media, to study your word, to sing praises to your name, to care for one another. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I ask that you reveal yourself to the person who is struggling to believe you are willing to save them. I ask you to bring salvation to their house this day. And for those who have chosen to follow your son, Jesus, I pray for continued strength and desire to keep at it. This world we live in is fatiguing. There's so much hatred and so much mistrust happening, God. Help those of us who know who you are to not give up, to not grow weary in doing well, but to keep our hands to the plow and keep living our lives for you. We thank you, God, for helping us to do it. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen and amen. So thank you again for joining us today. Please reach out to us. You can reach out to us through our social media. You can come through our website. If you have a prayer request, if you have questions that you want answered, please reach out to us. We honor that, and we really want to hear from you, and God bless you and God keep you. We are going to have a closing song. My friends, my highly esteemed colleagues who are blessed with the gift of music are going to come and lead us in song. And then I'll be back to dismiss us. Okay, we're on.
For this last one, you might want your hymnals if you need to follow along with the notes. It's a newer song to me. So it's hymn number 105. And we did play it during the offering. We've done it once before, but like I said, it's new to me. So...
Yes, I echo what Brother Bill said. Wow. Thank you, God. Because God is there. He is all around us in nature. He's around us in spirit. When we were gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we were our family gathered together, I was talking with Brother Bill actually early before service. You know, Brother Bill was talking about the men's retreat and how God shows up there. I'm like, yeah. Because that's what the Word of God says. Where there's two or three gathered together, He's there in the midst. He's with us, all around us. It's God. So I invite you, my dear brothers and my sisters, to remember as we depart from this place, to remember God is still there. He's still with you. He's there to keep you, to encourage you, to empower you, to forgive you, to love you. Go with God and go in God's peace. And I think Sister Debbie has actually pulled up a clip from The Chosen. Would you like to share that for us before we leave? Thank you. Can we hear it?
I have some business to attend to with my new friend.
So Jesus sends the crowd away. Thank you all for coming. This is, by the way, a clip from The Chosen.
For put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. But we've been doing this all night. Nothing.
And now look at Jesus. He's like, and? Your point right. is?
At your word.
At your word. Phrase for this week. If you say so.
Oh. Brother!
And they are blessed beyond measure.
Take that fight! Oh. Ah.
Look at that. So the other fish are better like, wait, what?
Let's go help them. Let's go! Ah! Help the fish! This way! Pull up!
And that's when you say, look at that. Thank you, Sister Debbie.
I told you.
This is the real deal.
My brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But by faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
I will.
And there it is, enacted for us. Thank you, Sister Debbie. God bless you. Go in God's grace and God's peace. And if you'd like to join us for some birthday cake, you're welcome to come by. Thank you. God bless you.